And welcome back to Sundance Weekend. We're with Brian Oakes, who is the director. And I guess for you, Brian, that's kind of the first time making a film.
It is. It is my directorial debut.
Yeah. So what leads you to into filmmaking for the first time? And this will lead you into introducing the special guests that you have with you.
Sure. Well, my background is actually animation and motion graphics. I've been doing that for over 10 years. So I've had a really great education of filmmaking, working with really amazing directors. Only in the past 2 years or so, I've transitioned into directing, and which brings me to my first film, which is Jim, the James Foley story. Is about James Foley, who was the first American journalist killed in Syria. and he was a very close friend of mine when I was a child. We've known each other since 7 years old. And his parents, Diane and John, who I've known almost my entire life as well, are here too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were just expecting Brian. So the Foley's, thank you.
I saw the film last week in New York. And I urge everybody to go to see this. You're going to see some testimony from fellow hostages in Syria that will be some of the most moving evocations of captivity and of friendship that you've ever seen. This is a very impressive film, and about a subject that you've seen on television a little bit and heard people talk about, but not in this way. So I love to ask the parents, how do you feel about seeing this on the screen? It must have been hard to, you must have talked about this endlessly, the way a film is shot. And what do you think of the final product? And what do you hope that it does?
Well, we're very impressed with how Brian has been able to capture our son, Jim. And just the beautiful person that Jim was, which is so hard to capture. So we're very proud of Brian's work and working very hard on our son's legacy foundation.
Brian, what can you tell us of the guy who was, the guy you knew as a teenager, as a 20-something, before he made the headlines? What are your memories?
Oh, boy. I don't know how long your TV show or your radio show is, but we could be here all day. No, Jim was, we grew up in a small rural town in New Hampshire called Wolfboro. So, small community, close-knit friends, and we stayed having a close-knit friend in those kind of environments. You stay in touch throughout your entire life. And, Jim went to Marquette University, and I went to Syracuse, so two big schools, and then Jim went off to do Teach for America in Phoenix, and then he was, he taught in the Chicago prison systems at Cook County Boot Camp, and I was in New York City, but we still stayed connected, and he was always just a normal guy, the buddy that you go and hang out with. We did a great road trip at the end of our college, he was just an amazing, amazing friend. And when he went to journalism school and went off to Afghanistan for the first time to embed with the Indiana National Guard in 2008, he was definitely a transient guy. He was always around, had friends all over the world, but still, we stay connected, and he was always really great at keeping in touch. So yeah.
How did you bring those fellow hostages together? And were there some who didn't want to talk about this?
Diane and I went to Europe. In the fall of 2014, simply because we had not spent any time with Jimmy in the prior year and a half, and we needed to catch up on his life. And so we became very close with the people with the freed hostages in the movie, and they were gracious enough to share Jim's story with us and then with Brian, along with our son Michael and Jim's sister Kate. So they feel strongly about sharing Jim's in the jail experience, which just influenced them all deeply.
Yeah, this is a difficult topic, but it's in the film. What could have been done by the U.S. government to produce a different outcome of the story?
I think the major thing is that at that point, because of our national policy, the Americans in Syria were just not a priority. And that was the hardest part as a family. And that is why, through the foundation, we're working very hard to make American hostages a priority, because it truly is a silent crisis. Most of us, I certainly didn't know that there are American hostages all over the world. And it's a very silent crisis, if you will. So it was very difficult to get Jim to be a priority.
Do you see anything encouraging from the progress that was made in the Iran negotiation?
Oh, absolutely. We really were – that was very hopeful to us, because it showed us that, at least in that situation, the voice of our foundation, the voice of other Americans has been heard a bit, that we need to get our citizens home.
I think one of the most heartening things associated with the Iranian release of the American hostages from Iran is that obviously our country negotiated, and obviously we had something they wanted and they had something we wanted. Jim's situation was a little different because there was no government to negotiate with. He obviously was captured by ISIS. There was also the issue of our government not being willing to negotiate with terrorists. So once you're labeled a terrorist organization, there was no communication. We found that to be a horrible setback, because you can't – if you don't know your enemy or you don't know what they want, et cetera, it's very difficult to
impossible to
expect any progress in a situation like that.
Did you meet other parents who were in your position, parents of other people who were held captive and killed?
Only until very late in 2014, about 4 months before their execution, we came together. It was actually through some non-government people. We came to meet several of the other Americans. We had no idea that Jim was with three other Americans, when in fact he was.
Do you think, was there information that was being withheld from you? I can't imagine it's easy to talk about this, but there also, at so many steps, there are ways to have dealt with this much more effectively.
Well, this is one of the major campaigns of the Foley Foundation, is to find, we Americans have to be able to do better. All the European hostages essentially came home, and ours did not. So we are working very hard with the new hostage fusion cell and with non-government people to do a better job of making Americans a priority.
Yeah, you'll see, you'll see some moments of cinema that will overwhelm you in this film. I can only say that. So please go see it. See the film, Jim.
And the first screening is today at noon at the Yarrow, and Tuesday at the Library Center Theater in Park City, Wednesday at the Mark, Thursday you're down to the Salt Lake City Library Theater, and next Friday back at the Redstone Cinema in Park City, and that Saturday the Mark in Park City. So the Foleys, John and Diane, thank you very much for coming. And first-time filmmaker Brian, thank you for being there. Maybe there'll be a second.
I hope so, yeah. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
With the film Jim. Mm-hmm.
Get up and move, Park City. This is Stanton Jones from the Silver Mountain Sports Clubs, a KPCW supporter. We offer over 80 fitness classes each week to our members, including spin, yoga, aqua aerobics, Zumba, bar blast, circuit training, and more. We have two locations in Park City. Online at silvermountainsportsclub.com. Be stronger, live healthy, play longer.
Hi, this is State Farm agent Benita Vanderkoy, longtime supporter of KPCW. With over 23 years of State Farm experience, I assist clients with insurance and financial services needs in Wasatch and Summit counties. My new office is located in the Redstone Shopping Center near Whole Foods. I can still be reached at 435-657-2220.